May I borrow a cup of zombie takeout?
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And hello, I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, let's just get straight to this week's movie, which is from 1988, Spies, Lies, and Naked Thighs. This is part two of our two-part Harry Anderson tribute. The other one was last Saturday. Watch the hearing if you want to know why Zombie Takeout's coming out on Monday. and also, it conveniently put the Harry Anderson tribute in the correct order.
Watch all the shows.
Yes, that would be great. In my defense, I saw Harry Anderson and Ed Begley Jr. in a spy parody and thought, how could it be bad? And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Cookie Cutters. They're not just for cookies anymore.
And also brought to you by Listing Titles, for every bad actress, lazy writer, and videotape out there. All right, so we have a UN translator. He's dutifully doing his job when this wacky guy shows up. Apparently, they know each other from the past, but he's claiming to be someone entirely different. He just looks like his friend. And they're just kind of like, whatever, which kind of leads you to believe that this guy was pretty flaky in the place, because they're just kind of like, oh, yep, that's Freddy being Freddy again. So he has this whole crazy story about being a CIA operative, and there's an assassination attempt on the president, and he has to figure out who the assassin is and, foil the case, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's this, is he really a CIA operative or is he just
the guy
crazy and making shit up? Mm-hmm. There are several times where they have it settled.
And then they throw a wrench in the works, of course.
And they throw a wrench in the work even after, the UN translator gets shot at. Which I think once, someone was taking shots with a, high-powered, scope rifle, you just kind of believe it after that. You just go with it. The movie would have been silly if he were crazy and there was some logical explanation for that.
Right.
Hilarity ensues.
I kind of liked the opening credits. They were just incredibly 80s. Animated opening sequence with this like Law and Order guitar. And incidentally, the opening theme was, and all the music was composed by the same composer who did the Night Court theme. I think his name is Jack Elliott.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
I forgot 80s TV movies, thankfully, and forgot how long the intros were. It just goes on endlessly.
I can't believe that this movie looked like it was done even earlier than 88.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like it was done from the 70s, practically.
Well, no, that intro was very 80s.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I did like the UN stuff. Particularly Alan, Ed Begley Jr.'s character's alternate translations.
Yeah, where they're...
You get these two, Arabs in the headgear and everything, getting into a big argument, and he just pulls off the headphones and just kind of says what they should be saying.
Right. They're trying to smooth things over to keep things from going too far in the argument.
And I don't know what it is about TV movies, but it always feels like everybody's still on book.
Definitely. Because I was going to say, from the UN scene, it kind of goes downhill from there.
And I don't know if it's a time thing, like a time crunch or bad directing. But it just, you can see the acting. And it's not, all due respect to Begley Jr., he's great, but he even doesn't really pull it out in this movie.
He's got a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. Harry Anderson elevates every scene he's in, again, like he does on Night Court.
He's, I think, even better on this than he's on Night Court, because at least on Night Court, he's got, the best supporting cast you could possibly find. Whereas this, it's not so much.
True. This is a hell of a job.
He was walking with a bit of a limp because he was carrying this entire film on his back.
Pretty much. There are some good moments. I loved the endless Reagan speech. He has this recording of Reagan when he shows up. He shows up to this couple who are old friends, who they think he is, who he looks like. And he has this recording of Reagan to vouch for his identity as a spy who had his appearance changed to look like their friend. And he's playing it, and it's just the State of the Union that after several hours turns into this personal message that then self-destructs.
Of course, you bring that up. The ending then, the resolution makes no sense at the end.
No.
The president says he's somebody else to look like him. And then, of course, yeah. But
I liked the endless speech and the time lapse there. I also thought Death by Street Sweeper was inventive. Being chased by a street sweeper at one point, and it turns and runs over this doorman.
It was very Murder by Death.
Yeah, and I like those parts of Murder by Death. I hated the French accent on the waiter. I talk to a French person on Skype all the time, Lapeline. I've started hating fake French accents, and this is a really horrible French accent.
I do not speak with the person that is French online often, or at all. Uh-huh. And I hated the French accent too. I hated almost every accent in this film.
Well, yes. That's the only one that really stuck out to me, but they were bad.
Nails on fucking chalkboard.
And those random scenes with the Asian guy and the British guy.
Oh my God, the cheapest joke you can imagine. And they're acting like they've just written it for the first time that Chinese people eat dogs.
And I'm sure they had scripts right under frame the way they were doing those scenes. And
oh yeah.
Trying for this whole Abbott and Costello chemistry that just didn't work.
And like I said, though, it is the, I mean, even by 88, it was just like a cheap joke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the only good way that joke has ever been used was, of course, Fred Willard in Best in Show.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's because he's being an asshole and just being like, to think in some countries people eat these things.
Although you said that was the worst joke ever in the movie? No.
Well, they hammer it.
They hammer it. That's the problem, like, is they hammer it.
They hammer it. Three different scenes at least. It's like they've just came up with the bit themselves, kind of, and they're trying to sell it to us.
There are a couple of points where those two actors randomly walk into a scene, and the two guys who played the Arabs early in the film show up at a party, and they have like this double act in the middle of the party. It's like it felt like a 70s variety show broke out in the middle of a movie. Or a bad laugh-in sketch. That's what I have in my notes. It was a bad laugh-in sketch.
That could be an episode title, too.
But the worst joke in the movie, I can't believe they actually did it. They pulled the Walk This Way joke.
They did.
And he actually does like a duck walk, Harry Anderson. And Ed Begley Jr. walks after him.
This way.
And they go in circles. The thing is, there are enough good gags in the movie and enough of an interesting premise that this could have been a good movie.
Yeah.
It could have been good. And
that's
the really heartbreaking part is, I don't know if it's the director or a time crunch or whatever. It just doesn't work.
I mean, the other terrible joke, of course, is the Berlin Wall joke.
Yeah. He has to get fingerprints from these three different suspects to find out who shot at them. And he at the party, he gets their fingerprints on a glass.
And does an absolutely shitty job of cataloging who's who and everything.
Uh-huh. So at one point, the wife of the couple who he's staying with visits the apartment to try to get her fingerprints again. And she lives with her brother. One half is East Berlin, and it's, you know, I think East Berlin was the Democratic side, right?
Eastern was the communist side because it's closer to Russia.
Okay, right. The West Berlin side, it's very modern and furnished very normally, very nicely. On the Eastern side, it's very sparse and concrete and a cot and
picture of Stalin. There's an actual fucking wall in the apartment.
Right. And the joke is that she's from East Berlin, he's from West Berlin.
Yeah.
I did like the apartment that was basically a jungle on the other suspect. The Brazilian woman.
Yeah. It kind of starts drifting into the absurd. So that was nice.
Yeah. Although I have to wonder why Freddie let Evelyn into the investigation. She set up the mic and she's kind of, you know, helping out later when she was a suspect.
Right. None of that made any sense. And then she wasn't really a suspect anymore. Right,
yeah. They kind of forgot that thread. And I don't
think they did.
Cleared at any point.
No, they never cleared her. In fact, it was kind of making it look like she was going to be it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the fake out is that she's no longer even a suspect.
Right.
He lets her in on the investigation. You're just like, wait, what the fuck is happening here?
We have another great UN translation scene.
Oh, this is the best, actually.
I love the line. you know, Ed Begley Jr.'s character, Alan, is once again, you know, trying to soften what the two Arab guys are screaming at each other. I know there's got to be a better word than Arab. I apologize for that. But they're screaming at each other, fighting, and he says, you're a pioneer in the field of Arab of up. Sorry, you're a pioneer in the field of animal husbandry.
Well, I was thinking of where he gets them into a fight because he's listening to his wife on the wire for some reason while he's translating. And when he's when one of the things that the German tells her is that he finds her very attractive, which he exclaims into their ear. I think it was probably my first and only LOL of the whole movie, actually.
Really, not even the translation scenes.
And it was, you know, Ed Begley Jr.'s delivery of that line.
Yeah. I did get a kick out of the fact that all of the assassination weapons were kitchen implements.
Yes.
That was a nice touch.
They started getting into like an airplane thing, which if they'd stuck with for the rest of the movie, they'd have been okay.
I liked the step slide. They're in a limo to pick up the president and the Russian prime minister, and they're surrounded by their guards. And the American guards are saying, step slide, as a group move toward the sidewalk to get to the limo. Got a kick out of that. Didn't see the Gunther Hilda reveal coming. Have to admit that surprised me.
Because it wasn't probably in the original script.
Right. It was kind of maybe tacked on. And I liked when they drove the limo underwater, like off a pier, because the assassin was hiding in the back of the limo. I did get a kick out of that. And I was a bit surprised by the reveal that he was actually their old friend who had joined the CIA.
Again, tacked on. Obviously tacked on.
Yeah. If I didn't mention it before, this was a CBS TV movie. I think the CBS part really kind of shows the pedigree.
I mean, I think the whole underwater thing isn't even the most absurd part of the movie, honestly. I think the most absurd part is having a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, just leave her class.
Yeah, yeah. And say, you know, if I'm going to be long, I'll send a sub.
Which is like, wait, what? What the fuck is this?
I thought maybe there were subs on hand. She'll have somebody watch the class for her. No, she says, if I'm going to be long, I'll send in a sub.
Like, they weren't even doing that for a laugh or a joke either. No. They were just doing that as, oh, we just need to get her back into this. So, you know, she's a teacher. She can just leave her classroom at any time.
There were a number of jokes that they thought were going to land better than they were. Because they were kind of doing that rapid-fire Mel Brooks thing where they don't really announce the joke.
Well, true, but I don't think that was done for a joke.
Possibly not, yeah.
I mean, if you do that for a joke, you see the school burning as they're walking away from it, you know? That's a good
point, yeah.
The disaster that would ensue by you just leaving a group of kindergartners in the classroom on their own.
I also should point out that director James Frawley played a waiter in the Muppet movie. That may have been the height of his career.
Wow. But the absolute worst part of this movie, I would have to say, is the woman that plays the ex.
Yeah.
Oh, because my God.
Harry Anderson elevates it. Begley Jr. is solid. He always is. Linda Pearl is even solid. And like, all I knew her from was Happy Days.
She was shaky too.
She's passable. I'll say that.
But the woman that plays
Evelyn is no.
Her, this could be one of the most inconsistent performances we've seen in our whole. I mean, she's like three characters practically. You know, she's just, oh yeah, that's me kind of thing, which is just, I mean, that's not her fault. That's the character. That's right. It's annoying as fuck, but it's.
Yeah, I don't want to hang too much on the actress in this movie. I'm willing to say it's all James Frawley's fault.
But there's like a scene where it's like, did she not, was she improvising? Was she just handed the script minutes before? What the fuck? I mean, it was just completely bananas out there. And then it was, I think that was when he was introducing her to the investigation. So you're just like, wait, what the fuck is happening here?
In any scene outside of the apartment with Anderson, Begley Jr. and Pearl, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled back and saw scripts. And with those three in the apartment, those scenes were really solid, but any other scene, any other actor in the movie, I'm sure was carrying a script. So on to sequels and remakes, because I think we've covered it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would like to see a legit like feature remake with a good director. I don't know who could play Harry Anderson's part now.
A different title.
Oh, yeah, sure, that's it. But I think it could work in the right hands.
Because there were no naked thighs in this.
No, not even a hint at that.
Like, what are they talking about?
I think that was, you know, early clickbaiting.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, like I said, it's just the whole, the movie Sex, Lies, and Videotape. I
exactly,
think
exactly, yeah. Well, there were all three in that movie. Anyway, on to brains.
On to brains.
There were jokes that I enjoyed, and on the whole, it wasn't a horrible experience. I'm going to go three.
I think this movie actually may have been released later than 88 for some reason. Okay. Because Sex, Lies, and Videotape was actually 89.
Oh, all right.
And I'm thinking, because I did remember this movie being out like later, you know?
I had no memory of this movie until I saw it on IMDb.
I attempted to watch it, I think, back when it was on originally, and just couldn't make it all the way through.
We're kind of opposite of the last TV movie we reviewed, Mazes and Monsters. I saw that when it aired, and you had no idea it existed until I mentioned it.
But just for Harry Anderson, this gets a brain.
All right.
Because he's the only reason to watch this movie.
Yeah. And what have we learned?
Two actors do not a film make.
And I learned that even hyenas need privacy to mate. All right, so that's it for Spies, Lies, and Naked Thighs. I had a little off of my notes. Please give this video a like if you enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoyed it more than we enjoyed the movie. And subscribe if you haven't. Down in the description, you'll find links to the trailer for Spies, Lies, and Naked Thighs and a link to its IMDb page. As well as our links. I forgot to mention this on the last two shows. You'll also find our links, Spotify. I'm switching shows. Social media, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. It's been a long night, three shows. Yeah. You know the drill with our links. Until then, until next time, we'll hopefully finally be reviewing Natural Born Killers. I'm not going to say it this time. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.